have Pentecost coming up tomorrow, and I didn't want to speak, you know, ahead of time here on Pentecost, about Pentecost. I'll save that for the speakers tomorrow. Mr. Kellers will be here, doing the AM over in Lebanon, Mr. Petty in the afternoon, and I will be over in Jackson, so I'll give a Pentecost sermon over there. But today I did want to speak about God's Holy Spirit, which kind of ties into it, but from a different angle, of course. The title of today's sermon is God's Divine Power. Divine power, His power. Many of the modern Bible writers and also the Bible publishers have made the Holy Spirit into a divine separate person and have taught and promoted that the Godhead is made up of three separate entities: God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This has caused many church denominations to wrongly teach the false doctrine of the Trinity. They are teaching that the Holy Spirit is a person, which is completely wrong. In 2 Timothy 3:16, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then in verse 17, it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This thinking that God is a Trinity was completely foreign to the original writers of the Bible. God gave these men by inspiration the right words in the Bible, and men have added to the Bible in their writings and has been teaching the wrong thing. It's made up of the Bible writers, you know, and this idea of the Trinity was made up several centuries after the New Testament was even completed. So after the New Testament was completed, several centuries afterward is when this idea that there is a Trinity, a three-person Godhead. So we have to ask ourselves, how then does the Bible define the Holy Spirit? You know, if it's not a person, how is it defined? Well, the word Spirit is translated from the Hebrew word Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, and in the Greek it is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. Well, both of these words mean breath or wind, which are an invisible force. You know, you can see the trees blow, but you really can't see the wind that is actually doing it. It is an invisible force, and that is what the Spirit would be. It's invisible to us. Also, the English word ghost is used in some of the older Bible translations. In John 4:24, we are told that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, to worship God in spirit means that we need to be coming before God. When we come before God, we need to have a humble attitude. We are speaking with our Creator, the one who created us, allows us to be alive, and is leading us and taking care of us. So in spirit, we are to be humble when we come before God. And in truth, we have to be completely honest with God. He reads our heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves, of course. Rather than describing the Holy Spirit as a person or an entity, the Bible most often refers to it and connects it with God, with God's divine power. That is the real definition. It's God's divine power. The Jewish scholars, while examining the references of the Old Testament scriptures, have never defined the Holy Spirit as anything but God's power. So all these teachings that a lot of these denominations or so-called denominations are teaching, when they teach that the Holy Spirit is a person, that was something that was made up. That is a false statement that they are teaching. Well, here are some examples of God's divine power, his power. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of power, love, and sound mind. When we are allowing God to lead us with the power of his Holy Spirit and teaching us, that is the goal that we are looking for and what God is looking for in us as well too. He wants us to have love in our hearts and a sound mind with his knowledge and what he has in mind for us and the kind of life that we need to be leading with the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35, a divine messenger, an angel, described the Holy Spirit to Mary as the power of the highest. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 1. And let's start reading in verse 26 through 35 there. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." You know, that was kind of shocking to her right there. You know, this guy walks in and, "Rejoice, highly favored one," speaking to Mary there. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I'm sure that got her attention real quick. I'm sure she was wondering, what in the world is this person talking about, what this angel's talking about, Gabriel. Verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what matter of greeting that this was." She knew she was in for something, didn't know what at that point. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will have no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She was a virgin. She did not know a man. How could this be? She was very troubled about this, of how this was going to happen. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So it's the power of God that God uses in the miracles that he performs. And this was a shocking miracle, of course, to Mary. I'm sure she was quite perplexed about it. But it was good news. And how wonderful it is that our Creator, I'm still amazed when I go to hospitals and I see people that are having operations done and things. And then to think about all the complex organs that are made up in our body, that God created each one to do a certain thing, a certain purpose. It's just amazing, the power of God. And he does it with the power of his Holy Spirit. And in Luke 4, let's turn over to Luke 4. Luke 4, verses 12 through 15, if you will. 12 through 15. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He's talking, of course, you know, to Satan there. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus every way that he could think of. Verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all of the surrounding region. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, it was speaking through Jesus and was teaching in the synagogues there. But it's God's power that does everything. All of the miracles, all the accounts that you read about in the Bible, they're all done with the power of God. It's not a separate person at all. But we know that Satan tried every way he could to trip up Jesus, because Jesus was in the flesh. But he knew that he needed to obey God the Father. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, he could perform these miracles and he could teach. The reason why he came was to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he knew that he came to be the sacrifice, to pay the price for all of our sins. Also, let's turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Get my pages apart. Acts chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 9. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, speaking of Jesus there, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. He picked out the men that he was going to work with there, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, after he was crucified, by many infallible proofs. They had no legal proof to crucify him, but that was something that was part of God's plan, of course. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This was 40 days after he was crucified. And he came there to visit with them and to proclaim the kingdom of God, of course. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That was on their mind. They thought the end was coming right then. Little did they know, of course, that it wasn't in their lifetime. Verse 7, And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, and it was out of their sight, of course. But it's the power of God that works all things. How wonderful it is that God is working with you and I. We are called out, people, for a certain purpose. That's like That's like Mitch and David were talking about the wedding that was this morning over in England. They kept mentioning the royal family, the royal family. Well, the real royal family, you and I have been called to be a part of. We are being prepared to be the bride of Christ. And so we are seeing different things that are happening on the face of the earth that reminds us of that. And that wedding this morning, as the men mentioned, do exactly that. And in Acts 10:38, Peter relates to us that God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. This was the same power that enabled Christ to perform the many mighty miracles during his ministry. You know, you can read of all these different miracles. There was one where this lady's daughter had died. And I believe it was Peter. Peter went to anoint the little girl. The little girl was dead there in the bedroom, and they were all gathered around. And Peter asked them to leave the room, and he prayed to God and anointed the little girl. And the little girl sat up on the edge of the bed, and he led her out to them after she had already been dead. And of course, we know the story of Lazarus. On purpose, Jesus waited. He waited for 4 days, I believe it was, before he went, on purpose, so that he could show them the power that God had put in him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And after Lazarus was dead for 4 days, he was wrapped up in the funeral wrappings and no doubt smelling. And Jesus said, "Come forth." He lived. And these miracles that were performed by Jesus was all done from the power of the Holy Spirit that God the Father put into Jesus. Also in Romans chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus worked through the Apostle Paul. Now take a look at the Apostle Paul, what kind of guy he was when he was Saul. What a tyrant he was against Christians. And he went to the Sanhedrin, and he you've heard me say this before, he wanted to be the sheriff. He went and had them to draw up these warrants, these arrest warrants from the Sanhedrin, and then he went out through the countryside, rounding up these people, bring them back into Jerusalem to have them put into jail or to beat them or whatever else needed to be done, as he thought. But he wanted to be the sheriff against Christians. And the reason why he was doing that, he thought Jesus was, when people spoke of Jesus, they were blaspheming God the Father. Well, Jesus met him, of course, on the road to Damascus and got his attention real quick. And he went blind, fell blind there, and Jesus spoke to him. He says, "You know, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Got his attention real quick. Ending up is what happened is that through the power of God's Holy Spirit, Saul was turned around 180 degrees from the attitudes and beliefs that he had. And Jesus ended up teaching him for 3 years in the desert. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, this man was changed to be an instrument of God, that God used him. As you can read about all the scriptures about Paul and the stories about Paul, used him throughout the rest of his life. The mighty power of God's Holy Spirit has done that. And God allowed these miracles to be performed through Paul, signs and wonders, all by the power of God's Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is an amazing story in itself. He's probably the most quoted character in the Bible, probably other than Jesus Christ, God the Father. But he really stands out as being one that made a complete, total change. Same way with you and I. We were called to make the big change in our lives. From the way that we were thinking before we heard about Christ or before we heard about God's church, We are called to make that transformation. We are in the process of being converted through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Again, the real royal family is the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we are being changed. We are being prepared. We are being cleaned up to be the bride of Christ. All through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Not one of us is sitting here today that came here on your own thoughts. You wouldn't know about this place, wouldn't even want to come here. Or any of God's churches. God the Father does the calling. He leads us, and when we have that willing heart, wanting to learn more and come to the realization that we have sinned and that we need to be forgiven, He turns us over then to Jesus Christ to work with us. And He will not give up on us. There are corrections that a lot of people have, and they say, well, you know, what have I done to do this? Well, God the Father looks on our heart. He knows more about us than we do. But he will show us. He will show us the things that are wrong in our lives. And he will grant us repentance if we have that willing heart to listen to Him and to understand that. That's why we say, you know, it's a good idea for each of us to judge ourselves so that God doesn't have to judge us. Because through the power of His Holy Spirit, He will turn you around like He did the Apostle Paul. We are called for a special purpose. We are called to be in the really royal family of God. So how wonderful that is that God is working with us. We are special people. I know a lot of the people were watching the wedding and over in England over there. And they were considered as, you know, the royal family, the special people. They're not special people. We are. We are the special people that will be teaching others for the rest of our lives, and also into the millennium and into the great white throne judgment. We will be teaching other people. We're called for a purpose. We're called for a reason. How wonderful, how blessed we are that we are called. Just like with Mary, when Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, you have favor with God. You and I do too. We have favor with God. And we don't want to shortchange that. We don't want to let down on that. We are being taught the wonderful information that others don't have, that others can't even buy with money. What a wonderful blessing through the power of God's Holy Spirit that He is bringing on me and you. You know, even the New Catholic Encyclopedia states, and they admit that the Old Testament clearly does not envision God's Spirit as a person. And as what they say God's Spirit is simply God's power. They've got it right. Now, the Catholic Church doesn't obey everything that God says to do, do they? You and I are being taught to obey and live by every word of God. But they do have it right there in their encyclopedia that it's simply God's power. And then in the Catholic dictionary, they acknowledge that the New Testament, like the Old Testament, speaks of the Spirit as a divine energy or power. It's not a person. It's not a person. It is the divine energy and power that we cannot see. You know, I've often thought, you know, you can daydream sometime. I don't suggest you do it while you're driving down the road, but I have sometimes. And I thought, you know, what if an invisible vehicle, if they make such a thing? I was thinking about the computer cars now, driverless cars. I don't think I want to ever be in one. But the driverless cars, you know, could fly by, and they may make invisible cars someday. Who knows what they can come up with different technologies. It's like the stealth airplane. I mean, they can make a stealth car too, probably. But how invisible that would be, and how scary it would be for one to pass you on the highway. Weird things like that. But God's Spirit is invisible. It is like the wind. It's like your breath. We can't see it, but it's very, very, very powerful. All the miracles that we read about in the Bible were done by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And yet, through God's Spirit, the members of the God family will share, just as all the parts of our body, all the parts of our body, each one of the organs depend on the others. They each have their little segment, their little job that they do. Some big job, of course, your heart, you know, your lungs, and your kidneys, and all the other parts. They all have a purpose. And in the God family, we will share, just like the parts of our body do, to be in that family, and we'll share a special oneness of mind, to be one-minded, to all be thinking the same way. Now, you take a look at all of the weird things that are going on in this world right now. Again, another shooting at a school in Texas, I believe it was yesterday. And I think there was 10 students killed outright with a shotgun or a 38, probably a shotgun, which is horrible. And I think there was one teacher. Then there were 10 others that were wounded. All of the weird things that go through people's minds, of course, they were prompted by Satan. Satan is out there poisoning the people's minds. And all of the chemicals and drugs that are being allowed to be produced are killing our young people. The opioid thing that's going on right now, I forget how many per day are dying across the entire country. Now, opioids, a lot of times, people that go to a hospital, and it is said that if you're in a hospital with an operation, and if you're in there for an operation and take pain medicine, which are opioids, within 4 days you can become hooked. I don't understand, with the knowledge of doctors knowing that, that they even allow something that to happen. They need to find something else to ease the pain, something else that needs to happen, because there are so many people that are getting their minds poisoned. Their minds are schizophrenic. Call it bipolar, whatever it is. But in the God family, we will have oneness of mind. We will all have the fruits of God's Spirit that we find in Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit is the character of God that we will be having in us. That oneness of mind, of the purpose in the nature of that we will be living, will be beyond our common identities. And that is only possible through God's Holy Spirit. We are being changed. We are being taught. We are being tested. We are being led by God's Holy Spirit to have God's character. God is preparing us and getting us ready. This unity is already experienced between God the Father and Jesus Christ. They are in harmony. They think exactly alike, and that's what we are being taught, to think like them. We are called special people. There is indeed only one God, but that God is a family, with others to be added, you know, to that family. That's why God is in the process of harvesting humans. We are called out to be harvested for the purpose of being in God's family. Right now, at this present moment, of course, there is only two fully divine members of the God family: God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. The only two that are fully divine personages. And there is more to come, of course. In God's harvest of humans at the resurrection of Christ, he became the first of the first fruits. He died, paid the price for us, and was resurrected. So he is first. He is first. But there will be more added. We are called to be amongst that group to be added. Our calling, we sometimes gloss over it. But we need to be more cognizant of our calling. We are special people. We need to take advantage of that. Our prayers need to be very, very humble when we are speaking to our Creator. And He wants us to beat our prayers up real fine. He wants that relationship with us. He already knows what's in our heart, but He wants us to express it to Him. He wants us to be a part of Him. And He's given us that power through His Holy Spirit to know Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, God said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And you know what? He meant it. He meant that. That's what he is in the process of doing right now, is calling a family. We're not just picked like robots. We are called, but we are being taught, and we are being tested. God wants to know if he can trust us enough to turn us into a spirit being or not. It's our choice. It's our choice. So use our time wisely to study the scriptures, to be obedient to God, to be humble before him, and to be completely honest with him. When you are praying and asking for God's help to change something that you've been sinning about for years over and over and over again, whatever that may be, when we ask God for the help, we need to be very, very humble. We got to know who we are talking with. Speaking of being a family and being of one mind, in John 13:34, Jesus said, you know, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That can be a very hard thing to do sometimes. You know, there are some people that you can talk with sometime, and they can just really fire you up. And if you're not careful, you won't be showing love back to them. We need to be looking at opportunities like that to overcome and to show God that, yes, these are just human beings that we are associating with. We are still fallible. We still make a lot of mistakes. And our communication between each other can cause a real rift between us sometimes. Now, a lack of communication could mean that they don't know how to put the words together, or you don't know how to put the words together, or I don't know how to put the words together sometimes in the sentences to really say what our heart really means. And we get a little frustrated with ourselves, and it'll come out wrong, and the person takes the message wrong. A little bit hard to love in that situation. We need to be very, very careful. Try to do our best, and along with prayers to God, to be able to communicate better with one another. I know I have a problem with the sound of my voice sometimes. It comes out loud, or comes out soft or harsh or whatever. And I know people take what I mean wrong way sometimes. Same things has happened with you as well too. And in verse 35, Jesus went on to say, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, that's another big reason right there. We are called to be the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ. We are in a job right now. All of us are. Everybody that we come in contact with, we are a representative, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And we have to kind of slow ourselves down sometimes and ask ourselves, how am I representing Jesus Christ? What kind of a job am I doing? Do I have love for one another? Not always. Have to repent daily of that myself. But we have to check ourselves and say, you know, who am I working for? We don't own ourselves. We are bought and paid for. We are called out. For us to be true disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, we have to have his thoughts, his attitudes. And it used to be a thing that was on the radio quite a bit. You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? We have to ask ourselves that question constantly. And be able to think, well, you know, before I blow my mouth off here and speak something that is going to offend somebody and ruin this whole thing and have Satan jumping up and down and laughing, I need to think, what kind of a disciple, what kind of a follower, what kind of an example am I to other people? Have love for one another. And we know in John 17, right before Christ was crucified, he was praying to the Father very fervently, very humbly. And he said, Father, those that you have given me, they are yours. And he was leading us, of course. And he says, let them be one. He was talking about one-mindedness. Let them be in harmony as we are in harmony, as you and I are one. He was praying for me and you. God the Father heard him. God the Father is giving us the tools. He is giving us his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Without God's Holy Spirit living in us, we can actually do nothing. Jesus said that. We must have God's Holy Spirit. God calls us and gives us the information, tells us that we need to have our sins forgiven, that we need to repent of those sins and to make that 180-degree turnaround, just as the Apostle Paul did when he was Saul, turned around there on the road to Damascus. He said, yeah, I know who you are. God the Father and Jesus Christ, I'm going to turn around. I am going to do what you want me to do. For us to be followers, we must love one another. For us to be one body in the church, which is in the body of Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. God's Holy Spirit living in us. When we made that commitment at baptism, that commitment was for life. That we would come up out of that water as a new person, a new man, new woman. And God wants us to be in his family. Again, we are being tested and tried so that we can grow. We can grow and use that. When we're baptized, we receive a little mustard seed of God's Holy Spirit. And if we are willing, God will expand on that and he will give us more power so that we can be overcomers, because it says only the overcomers will be in his kingdom. Something that we must work on. We don't want to become, in the church, cliques of any kind, you know, little groups getting together and having their own thoughts about the doctrines of God, that we need to read what is in God's Bible. We need to know what the doctrines are and how we are to obey what God says for us to do. I know there are some people that do that way. I've been in other churches, I'm not going to tell you which ones, have been in some churches where they would get together and they would start talking about, well, you know, I think the doctrine should read this way or whatever. Don't want to listen to those kind of people. God says we are to prove all things ourselves. We need to open up the Bible and know what God says. Don't take anybody's word on your salvation. Open the Bible and prove it all yourself. It's what we need to do. We are humans, and we live in the Spirit, in the family of God. And we live that way because of God's divine power. Divine is His power, our Creator's power. So let's all continue to be overcomers, to ask God to help you, to look into that spiritual mirror, and to show you the things that you need to overcome. There are many sins in our lives. All of us have sinned. All of us do sin every day. Ask God to show you in that spiritual mirror what you need to overcome. That's what He wants to hear from you and me. He wants us to ask Him, please help me. Show me where I am falling short. Show me where I can improve. Show me where I can grow. Again, if we judge ourselves, then God won't have to judge us. He is more than willing to show us what we need to do. So let's go on with obeying God and looking forward to the kingdom of God, and get ready then for tomorrow, for the day of Pentecost, where God's Holy Spirit will be talked about more in depth as well too, and all those things like that. So we'll see you all.